Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our associate pastor, Reverend Jeffrey Wendelowski, and is titled, Do Not Be Anxious, God Will Provide. It's based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 12. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church here in Westfield, Massachusetts. We ask for God's blessings as we gather around the Word and Sacrament this day during our time of divine worship. I also ask that God will bless those who will be watching this divine service on our YouTube channel. Remembering our baptism, we make our beginning this day as we do each day in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having a knowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we hear the words of this morning's Holy Gospel text. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you, who are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom. These things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, number 728, "How Firm a Foundation."
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. These words recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" Thus far the text. You may be seated. It's a joy and delight to welcome you again this day in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. So, today is your day. If you don't like vestments, this is your day to be here, because as you can tell, I'm in my clerical, just how it works. But here's the thing. So when you hear the word anxiety, when you hear the word, someone's anxious, they're nervous, they're scared, they're frightened, whatever synonym you want to put in there, any of them, anxiety can be kind of a catch-all word for a lot of things. Some say anxiety, some say they're nervous, some whatever the case may be. But others, whether they want to admit it or not, well, they say that they're not anxious and anxiety is not a thing that bothers them. But I tell you, you know, you go outside and there's a giant snake out there, a rattlesnake or whatever's out here in Massachusetts, well, probably that's going to scare you a little bit, just how it works. But throughout my years working in the hospital, it became very apparent to me. You can see, especially working in the emergency department, you can see how quickly it is that life can change in a moment's notice. A perfectly healthy person can go one moment from running around with their family, with their friends, from visiting, to finding themselves at the hospital and being drastically and deathly ill. So the matter of fact is that life, as we know, in this world is fragile. And this fragility makes us anxious, and it comes out a lot of times in a variety of ways. So we can be anxious about what? I mean, you could add a whole list to this whole thing here. But a lot of times we're anxious about our health, what's going on with our body. We're anxious about the next big thing, starts with an M, maybe you're thinking about it in your mind right now, but money always comes up. We're worried about money, we're worried about finances. How are we going to afford this? How are we going to afford that? How are we going to pay our bills? And then the next thing, we're anxious about our future. We're anxious about what does the future hold for us? Where are we going to be in 6 months? Where are we going to be in a year? Where are we going to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Who knows? Where are we going to be tomorrow? I don't know. But those are some of the things, simply put, that we worry about. And I'm sure there's many more. You have your own list of things that make you anxious, things that make you nervous. But here's the thing. In today's gospel, as Luke has recorded it for us, Jesus speaks to that anxiety, to that anxiousness, with a promise. He doesn't just say, I mean, he does say it. Look, he says, don't be anxious. But he doesn't just leave it at that and then the Gospel of Luke's done. Well, no, that's not how it works. But he says, don't be anxious. He continues on with all of these examples of how the Lord cares. Well, first he gives the example of, for instance, ravens, lilies, etc. And if he cares for them, well, he's going to care for you too. But if when we look at this text, this is not some kind of like vague wish for good things to happen. Jesus is the Son of God. What he says is true. It's trustworthy. And as we have in his word, it's inerrant, it's inspired. But think about it. When Jesus says, do not be anxious, and continues later on, your Father knows that you need them. The things that you need to support this body and life, your Father knows this. This isn't a vague wish that Jesus says, well, you know, I hope that this happens. I hope that this all works out well for you. Or I don't think we have them out here. I haven't seen them. Is there any Panda Expresses out here? No? Okay, maybe that's a Fort Wayne thing where I went to the seminary. But there's this little restaurant thing you can drive through and get Chinese food through the drive-thru. Well, when you get the food, what usually comes in it? A little fortune cookie. And, you know, it usually tells you something nice, this will happen, that will happen, etc. That's not what Jesus is talking about. This is not simply a wish, a vague wish, that Jesus hopes that good things happen to you or that all that you need is provided to you. No, instead it's a promise. And it's the truth that we confess when we think about it. So today we confess the words of the Nicene Creed right after the children's sermon. But if you think about the Apostles' Creed for a second, and so too the Nicene Creed, but think about, how does it start off? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So this is what we call the first article of the Creed. There's three articles of the Creed. The first part about the Father, the second part about the Son, the third part about the Holy Spirit. But when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we acknowledge that our Heavenly Father, who is good, gives us what? He gives us our clothing. He gives us our shoes. He gives us our food. He gives us our drink. He gives us our house. He gives us our home, wife, children, land, animals, and all it is that we have. And so, too, he defends us against all danger. He guards us. He protects us from evil. And why does he do it? What's the reason? Well, he does this all out of fatherly, divine goodness, love, and also, what's the word that we know starts with an M? Mercy. Think about the beginning of the service. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. He does this out of his mercy. And Jesus' words today are the foundation of what we confess every week as we say the words of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, what have you. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And whether we like the way the divine service is set up or not, you know what? Doesn't matter. The point is that we say these things for purpose because they are set up to teach us, that we would remember these things throughout our life, from the very young to when you get older, in your 80s, 90s. These are the things that we should know and remember God's promises to us. But what's the reason that we worry? Why do we worry in the first place? Who cares? Why do we worry? But think about it. We worry because we believe sometimes that our lives, the way that our life pans out, or the way that this happens or that happens to us or happens to our family, our friends, our loved ones, etc., we believe that our lives depend solely on what it is that we do. We fear sickness. Why? Why do we fear being sick? Because we believe that health, well, if we're healthy all the time, and this must prove that God cares for us. So therefore, the opposite must be true. If we're sick, God don't care about us at all. Or we also fear loss. Loss of material things, for instance, because we measure the love of God by the comfort of what we have. We measure how much does God love us by the fact that, well, you know what, I went out to the car this morning at 8:30, I pushed the start button and the thing turned on. Well, it doesn't mean that if I push it, it doesn't turn on, that God doesn't love me. It's not how it works. But we also fear death. We fear death because we forget the one who overcame death. And when we confess this first article of the Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, well, we confess it with our lips, but what? But a lot of times, I think if we're truly honest, we doubt what it means and what it implies deep in our hearts. And so it is that Jesus, what does he say? Well, look at the text. He says, O you of little faith. And it reveals that we don't often trust in God. We often don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Just how it works. And also, that we would like to have more control of our own lives. We would like to have control of that which happens to us, of that which goes on in our lives. We would like to control it. We would like to control the outcome, and what happens. But here's how it works. Jesus points us to creation as an example. What do I mean by this? Look what he says. He says, gives the example of ravens who neither sow nor reap, lilies who neither toil or spin. And if it is that the Father provides for them, how much more, if he's providing for these birds, for these flowers, etc., how much more will your Heavenly Father provide and care for you? And this care that he gives to us, it's not something that's simply abstract, kind of like way out here. It's nice that Pastor Wendolowski says this and we can just forget about it and it means nothing. He just comes up and speaks all kind of nice things to us. No, it's not something that's abstract. Instead, he promises and he gives us this daily bread in every form of it. He provides us who? He gives us doctors, medicine, food, water, shelter, clothing, work, family, friends, and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are here in this congregation with us. He also provides for us comfort when our health fails, strength when our resources run short, and peace when the chaos of the world changes our lives. But this promise also doesn't mean something else. This promise does not mean that Christians will never go hungry, Christians will never get sick, Christians will never die. We know that's not the case. But some of God's children, they live with empty cupboards. Some suffer illness, long-term illness, for years and years and years and years. Some die younger than others. But yet in every circumstance, the Father's care remains. It's with us, and he promises this. But when the cupboard's bare, what's he doing? Well, he sustains you through the kindness of others, through those whom he has put into your life, through your brothers and sisters in Christ. And also, he promises you the hope of the resurrection on the last day. And when illness comes, well, he may give you healing through doctors. But when healing does not come, he gives you the promise that death is not the end. Death is not where it ends for the Christian. And even in the grave, his care does not fail, for he will raise you up on the last day when he returns in triumph and great glory. And that is the hope of the Christian. That is the hope that we rest on. We look forward, as we confess in the creed, to the resurrection on the last day. But where is it that our Father delivers this stuff to us? Think about it. What we call the divine service, some call it the worship service, but the divine service, what we're doing right now, the divine service where God serves us first, yes, there's worship going on, but that's in response to the good gifts that he gives us, his word, the sacrament, and then we respond with prayer and praise. But the divine service is where our Heavenly Father delivers care directly to you, directly to your soul. And here it is that he speaks his promises in the readings, as we heard read earlier, in the preaching of his word from this pulpit. And he also teaches you to pray, as I said earlier. Think about the Kyrie at the beginning of the service. You don't know what to pray and life's going rough? There it is. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And if you remember the tune, you know what? You can sing it also, just how it goes. Or, what else? The prayers of the church, where we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who have prayer requests for us, knowing that our Heavenly Father, our prayer rises before him like incense. What else? He proclaims his peace to us. Think of what happens during the Lord's Supper. So you have the words of institution, and then what happens? You see in front of you the host, the chalice, the body, and the blood, and what does the pastor say? The peace of the Lord be with you always. That is Christ's promise to you. He's present under the forms of bread and wine. And he feeds you with his very body and blood. For what purpose? Not just because it's something fun to do on Sunday morning, no, but because his body and blood grant you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So it's in this service that the Father meets your needs, both in plenty or want. He meets your needs in health or in sickness. He meets your needs in life or in death. And so it is that you can easily say that the service, it teaches these things to you. If you're anxious, if you're depressed, any of these things, any time in life, look in the hymnal. I give you a personal challenge this week, next week, when you're sitting in the pew, open the hymnal, look at Divine Service Setting 3. That's what we use every Sunday here. Look at it. Beneath each part of the service, it tells you the scriptural text from where this comes from. It's not just something we made up. It's God's word that's being spoken and sung with us. Look in the hymnal. It all comes from the word of God. Even singing the liturgy, it helps you to remember it, just how it goes, and to store it up in your heart for the young, for the old, for all in the middle. It's just how it works. But so it is that when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we're not just repeating some kind of old words. We're not just doing this because there's nothing else to do on Sunday morning. We're not doing this because we want to be Roman Catholic. It's not the case. But we are proclaiming that the Father richly and daily provides for all of our needs, everything that we need in this body and soul to protect us in this life. And sometimes that means health and abundance. Sometimes that means strength and weakness, patience and hardship, and hope in the face of death. But here's what it always means. It always means Christ. And Christ, He's enough. So Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And here in the divine service, this day, every Sunday, every Wednesday, in the divine service, He does exactly that. And He will keep doing so because He has promised to. Until the day when all fear, when all anxiety, when all worry, when all that is gone. And you stand before your Father and you see Him face to face. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Our closing hymn is number 733, O God, our help in ages past, verses 1 through 6.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.